If Lisa Gross's grandmother had allowed her in the kitchen, New York City might be minus a very interesting cooking school. Lisa's created the League of Kitchens. It's a league of meticulously curated home cooks from around the world, and they open their kitchen and their cultures to students. But Lisa's an artist, a cook, and social entrepreneur. Lisa, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So I understand that your grandmother, in a way, really started this project.
Yes, but it's not because I learned how to cook from her, but it's because I didn't learn how to cook from her. So my mother actually is a Korean immigrant. She came to the U.S. in the 70s. My father is American of Hungarian Jewish descent. And my Korean grandmother lived with my family when we were growing up and cooked tons of amazing Korean food all the time. But whenever I would try to help her or show interest, she would always say, oh, don't worry about cooking. You know, go study. Studying is more important. Because, you know, for her, she really wanted me to have opportunities that she didn't have. And I really appreciate that. But what that means is I never learned to cook Korean food. And actually, the same is true for my mother. So after college, when I was living on my own for the first time, really, and cooking a lot for myself, I wanted to cook all this Korean food, but my grandmother had passed away by that time. So I started to try to teach myself from the internet, from cookbooks. But, you know, nothing ever tasted as good as when my grandmother made it. And what I realized is that there are often very subtle differences in technique or method or even ingredients that make the difference between something that's good and something that's really exceptional. And so I had this fantasy of, oh, I wish, you know, if not my own Korean grandmother, that there was another Korean grandmother I could cook with. And that became sort of this fantasy of, wouldn't it be amazing if in New York City you could do that with people from all over the world, you know, learn their family recipes and cook with them in their own home kitchens.
So how many teachers have you got? And what countries
are
they from?
So right now, yes, right now we have 8 instructors, and they are from India, Greece, Lebanon, Korea, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Trinidad, and Argentina.
What a mix.
Yeah.
Tell me about these people. Are men and women, all women?
So right now, all of our instructors are women. And I would say most of them are in their 50s and 60s. There are a few exceptions there because we're really looking for people who are exceptional home cooks, for people who have been cooking for decades, who really have a deep knowledge of their cuisine and culture. And that tends to be actually women in their 50s and 60s. Our Korean instructor actually is our oldest instructor. She's in her mid-70s. And then our Afghan instructor is in her mid-30s, but cooks like she's in her mid-70s. So,
well, okay, the Korean instructor, is this the, the in quotes, grandmother that you were looking for?
Well, Sunny is really amazing. She's our Korean instructor. She does everything from scratch the traditional way. And it's very hard to find anyone who does that, first of all. And second of all, anyone who does that who also speaks English. So she makes her own soy sauce and doenjang, which is like Korean fermented miso paste from scratch, from soybeans. And she ferments these in traditional ceramic fermenting jars on her front porch in Bayside. And the reason that she does speak English is because her husband is actually a retired minister. And they came to the U.S. in the early 80s and were sort of stationed in the church in different parts of the U.S. And so she really got to know a lot of Americans. And also she became a social worker and actually runs a small Korean social service agency in Queens. So she's kind of this magical combination where she has that deep culinary knowledge, but she's also very open and comfortable hosting American strangers in her home, which, you know, many Koreans of her generation wouldn't be.
I'm just still hung up on the soy sauce and the miso paste.
Yeah.
I mean, that is such a complex, time-consuming process.
Yeah.
And that's a perfectionist if there ever was one. Tell me about the person from Trinidad.
So Dolly, who's our Trinidadian instructor, she just loves cooking. She's known on her block as the best cook in the neighborhood. She cooks a lot for her temple. Her background is she's of Indian Trinidadian descent, so her family is Hindu. And she actually has a separate sort of semi-outdoor kitchen that she uses in addition to her inside kitchen. And she actually has a specially built tawa, which is a kind of griddle for making different kinds of roti, especially her famous basapshot roti, which is this torn up, really amazing, pillowy, flaky kind of bread to use that you use to sop up curries and other dishes. She also has a garden where she grows a lot of culturally specific herbs. Actually, Sunny, our Korean instructor, also has a garden where she grows about 40 different kinds of vegetables and herbs and has 7 fruit trees. So You know, that's something that really gets me excited and I think points out, like, this, you should be an instructor for us. Somebody who is really committed to ingredients in that way. And I think that all of our instructors are.
How do you find these people?
So finding the instructors can be kind of difficult because we're looking for somebody really special. And that's somebody who has this deep culinary knowledge of traditional techniques and methods, someone who's really warm and outgoing, who's a great host, and comfortable hosting groups of American strangers in their home. So we do a huge amount of outreach to different community groups, nonprofits, language schools. We post on Craigslist. We bring people together at info sessions, do brief interviews, and then with the most promising candidates, we do in-home cooking auditions. And from there, you know, we do our hiring. But to get our first six instructors, we actually interviewed close to 150 people and did in-home cooking auditions with about 25. So, you know, you're taking a class with someone who is really special in a lot of different ways.
How do you turn these wonderful home cooks into teachers and also recipe writers? Because that's just not something everybody does.
Yeah, that's a great point. So with each of our instructors, we actually do a very intensive paid training period where they practice teaching, they attend each other's practice workshops, we help them create their menus, we do a lot of coaching, because you're exactly right. Being a good cook is very different from being a good teacher of cooking. So one of the big things that everyone has to sort of learn to do is, one, talk while they cook, two, really become aware of what they're doing, how they're doing it, and why. Because for many of them, they've made all of these dishes 1,000 times, and they don't think about it anymore. It's almost automatic. We also work with a professional recipe writer and tester, Liz Tarpey, who's a former senior editor at the Food Network. And she cooks with all of our instructors. She pauses them, takes what they're doing, measures it, weighs it, and takes notes. And then she goes home, cooks through the recipe in her own home kitchen, and then writes it out in a professional tested recipe. And so we have that to give to the students.
Lisa, it's very impressive. And thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
Lisa Gross is the founder of the League of Kitchens in New York City. Now, head to our website to get a copy of that Lebanese tabbouleh. That's splendidtable.org.